Well, hi everyone. It's great to be able to greet you from the other side of the camera and also the other side of the world. I'm happy to report that Gillian Min and I safely made it to Ohio. And we've been here about a week now, and our body clocks have just about adjusted to it. And I'm really glad that I'm able to stay connected with CBC, and in particular this morning by continuing this series, Holier Than Thou. And I'll be looking at God's omnipresence. There are a number of aspects of our existence that really challenge our minds when we try to comprehend them. In fact, existence itself does that. How is it that anything exists? Why is there something rather than nothing? These are humbling questions. They stretch us beyond our understanding. And humans have come up with four kind of big theories to explain it. Either the universe has always existed, or it came into being from nothing, or a divine being has always existed, or came into being from nothing. We all have to pretty much choose one of those four options in order to make sense of our existence. Of all the characteristics of God, and including the ones that we're looking at as part of this series, God's omnipotence, his omnipresence, his omniscience. For me, I think God's omnipresence is the most difficult to get our heads around. Scientists estimate that the universe, or at least the known universe, which means it's not the whole universe, it's just the bits of the universe that we know about, is about 93 billion light years in diameter. And God inhabits, he's present in every part of that. In fact, God's presence sustains every part of that. Without God's presence, none of that would exist. And not just in a big sense, but in terms of the tiniest detail, atom, particle, God's presence is there and is what brings life. And God's omnipresence is not just about space, it's about time. God exists beyond time. He's present in all time. He has given humans time in order to help us understand and make sense and have some order about our existence. But God himself is beyond it. God both transcends time and is present in every moment of it. But God's omnipresence isn't just this abstract idea or philosophical curiosity. Actually, God's presence is intensely personal. And to help us look at that, we're going to look at Psalm 139. This psalm begins with the most intimate of expressions of God's presence. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Look at the way that the psalmist chooses to describe God's presence around him. You've searched me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You know my thoughts even before I've expressed them out of my mouth. You know when I go out and when I lay down. You're familiar with all of my ways. There's nothing going on in the psalmist's life, in the psalmist's mind, in his heart, in his body. There's nothing that the Lord isn't present with, that he doesn't have knowledge of. And then the psalmist uses this incredible image of a hem. You hem me in behind and before. I mean, think of how big a hem is. And if you don't know, look at the bottom of your pants, of your jeans. Like a hem is this big. An ant would feel claustrophobic in a hem. But the psalmist says, "You, Lord, hem me in behind and before." He feels fully enclosed by the Lord's presence. And then he says, and you lay your hand upon me. And this isn't just a kind of a light hand of reassurance or comfort. It's a weighty hand, a heavy hand of the Lord's presence. So put that together. The psalmist is saying, you, Lord, are behind me. You're before me. You lay your hand upon me. You are all around me, intimately enclosing me with your presence. There's nothing outside of me where you are not. There's nothing inside of me that you don't know about, that you are not also present with. And so he finishes saying, such knowledge is too wonderful. It's too lofty for me. I can't get my head around it. All I know is that you are with me in the most intimate way. Which is why in the next stanza, it almost seems like the psalmist is trying to get away from God's presence. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is it light to you. Where can I go? Where can I flee? These are confronting words. We almost don't know whether the psalmist is viewing God's presence as a good thing or a bad thing here. And that continues where the psalmist talks about God's right hand guiding him and holding him fast. But at the same time, we see this thought of surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. So, what's going on here? How do we make sense of this? Does the psalmist think that God's presence is a good thing or not? One of the ways I make sense of this is when I think of my son Min, and especially when we're playing chasings around the house. And Min's favorite game, his favorite thing to do out of everything is to chase. But there are times where his squeals of delight will instantly switch into squeals of terror. And it's not that he's actually afraid of me, although my lion's roar is pretty spot on. But it's just that he's overwhelmed with everything that he's experienced, the joy, the delight, the fear. It's too much for him in that moment. And I think that's what we're seeing here as well for the psalmist. He's had this intimate beginning to this psalm of looking at this God who is familiar, who hems him in, and now he's kind of taken this big picture look at it and saying, if I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, I'll settle on the far side of the sea. He's thinking about just the incredible breadth and depth of God's presence everywhere, and it's overwhelming to him. And he knows that there is nowhere that he can go where God is not also present. And so the psalmist returns then to another most intimate of places. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. The psalmist there casts his mind to his conception, to his formation, and the incredible reality here the psalmist is expressing is that even before he had any consciousness, even before he had breathed his first breath, even then the Lord was present with him. The Lord knew him. The Lord was forming him. So often we think of time as starting at the moment of our birth and finishing at the moment of our death. But here, the psalmist recognizes that for God, he is present beyond those two bookends, that God is present with us even before we've been born, that he's intimately involved in our formation. And also, the implication being that God is continuing to be present with us even beyond our death. That those boundaries of time that we humans have aren't boundaries for God. His presence extends beyond them. So precious these words. That God's presence for us is this wonderful, intimate, relational being with us, knowing us, forming us, giving us value. I love how this stanza in the psalm finishes. When I awake, I am still with you. So even in those moments, each day when we fall asleep and we stop being conscious of our own existence, of our own life, even in those moments, God continues to be present with us. God continues to watch over us through the night. And so when we wake, he's still there. We're still in his presence. Though we haven't been conscious of him through our period of sleep, he's never left us. Such a beautiful truth that the psalmist celebrates here. And it reminds me of a prayer that I came across, which is a prayer for bedtime. It's a prayer that expresses this reality about God's continuing presence with us through the night. So I'll read it for us now. All praise to you, O God, this night, for all the blessings of the light. Keep us, we pray, O King of Kings, beneath your own almighty wings. Forgive us, Lord, through Christ your Son, whatever wrong this day we've done. Your peace give to the world, O Lord, that all might live in one accord. Enlighten us, O blessed light, and give us rest throughout this night. O strengthen us, that for your sake we all may serve you when we awake. When we awake in his presence. We awake with our re-realization. Oh, he's here. You're still here, God. What a beautiful, incredible thing this is to start each day acknowledging your presence with me. As the psalmist finishes, he takes a bigger perspective again on God's presence. If only you, God, would slay the wicked, away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We can see here that the psalmist is moving from the comforting presence of God to the confronting presence of God. And up till now, he's expressed in a diversity of ways about how God is present with him. God is intimately present with him, in him, around him. There's no place in the universe where God is also not with him. And that God was present with him since before he was even conscious with him, that God's presence transcends even the psalmist's own understanding and awareness of him. And here the psalmist extends that thought out. He says, well, God, if you are that intimately present with me and aware of everything about me, then you must also be present with and aware of the actions of my enemies. You must be aware. You must see the evil and the wickedness that they are doing. And so the psalmist cries out to God, God, would you do something? And here again, we see that God's presence isn't just this cuddly kind of comforting presence, but when God comes, he comes with everything that is in his nature and his character, and that is love and grace and mercy for sure, but it's also judgment, it's also confronting evil. And so the psalmist here says, God, come, I need you to come, I need you to act, I need you to come against those who are opposing me and who are also opposing you. At the end here, notice these words. The psalmist says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, from everything we've just heard and thought about, we know that actually God doesn't need this kind of invitation, that he is already intimately aware of our thoughts, that he is searching us and testing us, and he knows the condition of our hearts. He knows our every thought. And so the psalmist isn't so much saying, oh God, you haven't previously been able to do this, and so now I'm giving you the invitation. What this is, because the psalmist knows this is already true and happening, this is the psalmist just expressing his submission to God. He's saying, I know who you are. I know that you're present everywhere. I know you know everything about me. And so here I am, laying myself bare before you. Test me, search me, know me, ultimately, so that you will lead me in the way everlasting. It's an expression of obedience, saying, you, God, are present beyond space and time. And so would you lead me into your presence, into the everlasting. That's where I want to be, with you for eternity. God is present in the earth, in the trees, and in the air between. He's present in the light and in the darkness. He's present in the most intimate parts of ourselves, parts that we think no one else knows about or sees. He's there with us. He knows. Often in church, we'll say something like, you know, God is present here with us. And generally what we mean by that is that we are in that moment particularly aware of his presence, or that God's presence has been manifest in a particular way in that moment. Because the reality is that God is always present with his people. He's always there with us in every moment. And that has some pretty big implications for us that this psalm has brought out really clearly. The first is that God's presence confronts. If you think you can hide from him, you can't. If you think you can flee from him, you can't. If you think you can deceive him or withhold some part of your life from him, you can't. Nothing is hidden to God. He knows it all. He will hem you in and overwhelm you until you acknowledge his presence. There's no part of your life that you can keep secret from him. And this is made really clear in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, in God's own words. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth? And the second big implication for us is also that God's presence comforts. If you think you're alone, you're not. If you think no one sees you or understands you, God does. If you think no one cares about your life or what you do, God does. If you think your life is just some product of a biological accident, it's not. If you think God doesn't see the way people mistreat you, he does. God has been with you since before the moment you were born. He knows everything. He sees everything. He's with you in everything. And he desires to lead you into the everlasting, to take you with himself beyond time into his presence for all eternity. God is omnipresent. It's a reality that confounds our minds. It confronts and terrifies our rebellious hearts, and it comforts and delights our willing spirits. God is present everywhere. He sees and knows everything. So it's on us then to acknowledge that, and like the psalmist did, to willingly submit ourselves to him, to willingly open ourselves up to his presence, to take him by his outstretched hand and be led by him into everlasting. Let's pray. Father God, we acknowledge that you are beyond time and space, that you created all things, that you sustain all things, that you are present in all places. We thank you that that's true for the most distant parts of our galaxy, our universe, but it's also true in the most intimate parts of ourselves. You know our thoughts. You know our every inclination. You know everything about us, even better than we know ourselves. God, we praise you that you've been with us since before we were even born, before we became conscious of you. We thank you, Lord, that you've been thinking of us, that you know every day of our life, even before we live it. And God, we thank you that you have invited us into your presence, that we might not flee or run away or try to hide from you, but that we would willingly welcome, submit, and accept your presence in our lives. God, would you lead us into everlasting, into the joy, the peace, the hope, and the love that your presence brings, not only in this life, but into perfection with you for all eternity. Amen.